Thanks for listening to Countdown to Kickoff. Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Larry Fedora and Bubba Cunningham are here, and they have taken football in another direction.
I'm an old-school traditionalist. I want to go back to eight members, including South Carolina.
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Again underneath to Morris. Morris at the 40, 35, 30. Romar's going to go. Go, Romar, go. Touchdown, Carolina.
I look more at how we do against institutions that I consider our comparables, and certainly Virginia would be in that.
Larry Fedora is Bill Belichickian in his approach to injuries.
A win today, particularly after last week, will help quite a bit, if only for the short term, before we have to face some other realities.
A win here, he becomes a hero to Tar Heel Nation.
Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
This is Art Chansky, Art C., and it's a beautiful day in Chapel Hill to open the new home season on what has become the billion-dollar joke.
This is Bob Lee. This is a history-making day in Keenan Stadium. We've played East Carolina. We've played West Virginia. We've never played a middle. The first Keenan Stadium game against a middle.
Next from WCHL Championship Sports, it's time for the Good Sports. Art C.
And that's me.
And Bob Lee.
That's me.
And I'm Ron Stutz. Today's Good Sports with Bob Lee and Art C. is coming to you live from Rams Plaza in Chapel Hill as we count down to the Tar Heel game with Middle Tennessee State. Good Sports, what do you think?
I can't believe I blew my first line, of the home season.
That's okay.
I was just working with amateurs.
Actually, I was distracted by the amazing guests that Bob Lee has lined up for this show.
I know.
The best looking, smartest guest we've ever had and probably will ever have on the Good Sports.
There is no question about that.
You've stolen my line. Yes, we will have today, coming up in about 10 to 12 minutes to a listening audience throughout Orange County and Durham, the fabulous Comparado Twins.
All right.
Yeah, and are you going to tell us who they are?
We are.
Now or later?
You've been teasing us.
Well, we've got to do a whole talk about all this other game stuff that nobody really cares about, because now everybody wants to know about the Comparado Twins. But we do need to talk about our show. This is our first home game. Let's do a couple of minutes about what we do here, Art and Ron. And it's not the same stuff, although they do a great job. Our show here, this hour, is kind of different.
Well, I'm tuning in for the X's and O's. Are you guys going to provide that?
We don't talk about deep snappers and cover two defenses.
My job is to be the foil for you guys, and I want to tell you that I arrived here at 10:26, 2 minutes ahead of the schedule ETA. And we're here to talk about everything but X's and O's because, I know a lot about it, but Bob Lee doesn't know anything about it, so we defer to him.
So we try to cover for him.
Exactly, actually. But he knows a lot more about other things, and we want to talk about being cockabooshed last weekend and what exactly happened.
Cockabooshed.
Cockabooshed.
We were cockabooshed.
Yeah, we definitely cockabooshed.
That's different from being spurriered.
All right, trivia question. I'll give you the two tickets to today's game if one of you guys can tell me where Middle Tennessee State is.
Murfreesboro.
Murfreesboro. Good job. Did you say Murfreesport?
No, Murfreesboro. I had a hard time getting it out.
Exactly.
But who is from Cookeville?
Mac Brown.
Mac Brown is from nearby Cookeville.
No question about it.
And well, can you spell Chattanooga?
I can't believe there's been so much time spent this morning talking about the connection between Larry Fedora and Middle Tennessee State.
You can't believe I'm talking about
it? Do you realize he was there, Ron, before you were bar mitzvahed? That's how long ago he was.
Still before I'm bar mitzvahed.
Exactly. He was there so long ago. I mean, he's been to Oklahoma State and Florida since then and all these other places. And, yes, he did lose to them in the Hawaii Bowl in 2009 when he was with Southern Miss. But other than that, there's no connection. There's no connection.
I'm glad you were listening to the show.
I am.
Is there any school in the state of Tennessee that Carl Torbush hasn't been connected to in some way or another? Castle Heights. I mean, Carl, God love him, wonderful fellow, love him. And he's sort of, he was retired. Now he's coming back to Eastern Tennessee, I think.
Exactly. I didn't know there was an Eastern Tennessee.
Well, it's new. Everything's new. We're in a new location at Rams Plaza, thanks to our amigo Kenny Dyke, who arranged this whole thing for us. We're happy to be here. And the Tar Heel Town is now, it's not in Pope Place anymore, so let's give a high five to the Tree Huggers, who won.
The Tree Huggers
they won. Hey,
now, I've got a comment
the
on
The Tree
that.
Huggers won.
I got a comment on what? That. You know, Carolina, of all the universities in America, there's no university more slave to its own traditions than the University of North Carolina.
And what do you mean by that?
I mean, they just don't change. The answer is because we've always done it that way. Oh. They don't change things. However, they are changing game day, and I think it's a good thing to do. The game day traditions, Tar Heel Town, came about 12 years ago when John Bunning came. That was when we kind of sort of decided they needed to do some sort of fan interactive pregame show and stuff. And they created Tar Heel Town there in Polk Place, and then the problems about the drip line of the trees and all that, and the usual fights with the tree huggers and stuff. But the last 10 or 12 years have been sort of tumultuous for Carolina football. So to change a tradition that is kind of associated with a lot of turmoil and whatnot, I'm all favor of that. The Old Well Walk, folks, is no longer. There is no longer an Old Well Walk. It's now the Victory Walk.
Let me tell you, on a day like today, Bob Lee, it was also stupid. You know, who comes out 2 hours and 45 minutes, or what is it, 2 hours and 15 minutes before kickoff of the Old Well Walk when the kickoff's at 12:30?
Well,
it was stupid. So the bus drives up, everybody gets excited and all that. Hey, we're here, and they walk in. You know, who's there except, right. Bob Austin's ex-wife or whatever, you know, and a couple of – couple of diehards, but Bubba wanted to change it. He wanted to move it close to the stadium. He wanted to make it more compact, and so even if there are only less people there, it's going to look like there are more people there. And the most important thing is our boys are not going to get tired out by that long walk from the Old Well all the way to the stadium. They're just going to have a few steps off the bus from the bell tower through the village right into Keenan, get ready, and they're going to still have it in the fourth quarter.
Now, you can imagine, because my fingerprints are all over this university in so many ways.
No kidding.
I saw your
name written on one of the bathroom walls the other
day. There you go, the bathroom walls of the Zoom room.
Yeah.
But I actually had a bit to play in the evolution of the Old Well Walk.
Oh.
About when Butch got here, I informed his secretary, I've forgotten her name, I think she now works for the swimming coach, whatever, that the issue with the Old Well Walk was the players getting off with all their Dr. Dre headsets on, and it was obvious that they were in another zone as they were walking down the Old Well Walk there, and the fans are cheering and they're saying, "Hello, yay Marvin, yay Greg Little." Notice the segue there.
And they got their
Dr. Dre.
You know where they got those?
Yeah, that's another issue where they got their headsets. How does a guy on a Pell Grant afford a $500 set of headsets? But anyway, we're moving right. Let's just segue. Weighing right through the whole show here, but I said they need no X's and O's, no deep snappers. But I said they need to take off their headphones during the walk so it looks like they're trying to connect with the fans, and they did. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know whether they'll do that on the Victory Walk. Is there a big time school playing big time football that does not have a pregame walk now? I think Middle Tennessee has a walk.
Oh, they go from downtown Murfreesboro.
Yeah, right past Walmart.
Exactly.
You know, past Applebee's, exactly. Past Zaxby's, exactly. To wherever they play.
Well, whatever Bob Lee says, people listen.
Do we have a Zaxby's in Murfreesboro? Someone will call in and let us know if they have a Zaxby's in Murfreesboro.
Wait, didn't you bus tables at Zaxby's once? I thought I saw you there.
I Zaxby tables at a bus station once.
Right, exactly. All right, so what else do we have to talk about today besides the game? Because we're not going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about the game. But we're going to talk about all the things swirling around.
I want to talk about football fans. I want to talk about our fans for a moment. The fan issue has been a bit of a concern in the region in the last week. Carolina, Chapel Hill, Keenan Stadium, to my knowledge, has never, and you're older than I am, Chansky, so you may know this. In Choo-Choo's day, did we have pass out policy at Keenan Stadium ever?
A passed out policy?
Not passed out, that you can pass out of the stadium and come back.
We used to have a passed out policy when Dooley was the coach. After about three offensive series, everybody passed out. You know.
McCauley left, McCauley right, McCauley up.
Exactly.
Three yards at a club. Yeah,
really.
But now the idea, what we're talking about is, and NC State has this, where at halftime, fans can leave the stadium, go out into the parking lot, have a shot, have a drink, have a chicken bucket of Bojangles, whatever, and come back, hopefully. And the big issue last week, and I'm sure all of our listeners heard about it. If they read my column, they know all about it, because I had more than a little bit of fun talking about this. The new coach over there, Dave Who from where, got all upset that the fans didn't come back after the halftime. That was 95-degree weather, and even Wolfpack fans aren't that stupid. And so they were sweating. They were falling out. There was heat prostration was rampant. And they didn't come back into the stadium, the fabulous Carter-Finley Stadium, at halftime.
Maybe they were passed out.
The famous concrete carcass in the fairgrounds.
Exactly. But the idea being, and now, is, you know, are they going to do away with that pass-out policy? So once they get you in the stadium, you can't leave. And if they do, Debbie Yao will be toast. They will throw her under the bus if they try to do away with the pass-out policy.
They'll never do that. And they have to get outside to get back to the beer, right, and get back to their, you know, 14-inch HD TVs, exactly, and get back to the Bojangles and the barbecue. But let me tell you something. I was going to get all over Dave, what's his name, Dave Doran, is that his name?
I don't know. Dave something from somewhere.
Dave Doran for doing that, and then the hat. Friday, speaking to a bunch of guests and advertisers and clients on Friday, said that he was not happy with Carolina's home game atmosphere. That we only had one game last year where it was decent, and that was NC State. And he's hoping for maybe two this year, or a joke, maybe one and a half. But he wants improvement in that regard. So here we are playing Murfreesboro State. Is that what it is? Murfreesboro Tech? So normally this game would be on Labor Day weekend, when nobody goes to games anywhere, and that's been the annual. We always open against somebody like Murfreesboro on Labor Day weekend. But now here we are, full season, second week. What kind of a crowd, what kind of atmosphere are we going to have today? Because the hat will be watching from the sideline.
And, you know, the issue is the famous Blue Zone, or the infamous Blue Zone, which has been criticized for various reasons since its inception.
Tanning bed in America?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I said last year, I talked to Bubba the Real AD, and I said, tell Larry not to look to his right because he's going to see a lot of empty seats, but people are going to be behind the glass in there and the air conditioning eating their nachos and barbecue. They're here. They're watching, but they're not sitting down there in the world's largest microwave where you want them to be so you can see them. So it looks like the seats are empty, and then Wolfpack fans talk about all the aluminum in Keenan Stadium. But they're here. They're just hidden.
This is what they ought to do. This would be a great promotion. Everybody has to be in their seat for the kickoff. If they're in the seat for the kickoff, they get a free cap and a free pair of sunglasses.
A fedora?
Yeah, a fedora, exactly.
A fedora, yeah.
And then so everybody comes out, gets their cap, gets their sunglasses, sits down, and then they lock the doors to the Blue Zone to get back in.
Take the price of the water and make it $8 instead of $4.
You can't get back in until halftime and just make them stay out there. What do you think about
that? And now, these are people who give a minimum of $10,000 apiece each year, and you're going to tell them what to do after you cash their $10,000 Rams Club
check.
Well,
they're there to see a football game. They're there for the great, you know, remember Butcher used to talk about, you know, the end zone was the best place. Remember the video he made where the end zone was the best place to watch, the best vantage point to watch for?
Butcher's own record is saying a lot of things that have come into.
And they bought it because of the vantage point for the game. So why would they not? I mean, I know it's hot. You know, I know it's not this time of the year, but why would they not go and sit in the seats that they paid $10,000 for? Why would they go into the Blue Zone area and watch on HDTV where they could have stayed home to do that? I don't get it.
Well, they can swap mutual funds or determine who you've got to decorating your home at Baldhead Island this
I hope
week.
That's all they're swapping.
Who is your decorator for your beach house at Baldhead? The other things that Carolina fans notoriously talk about. But it really is. I hope it's not going to be an issue today because it's a pleasant day. It's a beautiful day. We're not sitting out here in 95-degree weather. So I think we're going to have a great day. I don't know what the pregame sales are in terms of tickets. But it is going to be Carolina's first home game. It's Bren Renner. It's Kennard Martin. It's what's-his-name, the big tight end, and all the other players. And they're both teams are blue. Did you know that Murfreesboro, A&M, Tech, whatever, their name is Blue something? I don't know what. Blue what?
Blue Raiders.
Oh, yep. I thought that was Richmond County. Oh,
and as in Oakland Raiders, except blue instead of Oakland. You get it?
Richmond County is Richmond Raiders.
All right.
All right, so are we going to
rein this in now? We're going to talk about our guests. We're going to talk about the actual football game?
No.
Well, I want to do something before. I want to take a break here for a second. Not a commercial break, but a break. And then, Art, I know this. You have something to say about this. Regional sports in the state of North Carolina lost a great guy this week. Mm-hmm. Frank Whedon.
Oh, yeah.
From North Carolina State passed away. Frank was in his early 80s, mid-80s. Carolina has never had a more passionate enemy than Frank Whedon. And I say that with all love and respect for Frank. Frank Whedon, nothing upset Frank Whedon. He was a sports information director, then he had other roles over at NC State. Frank died in his 80s this week, and a little moment of respect. Art, do you have a favorite Frank Whedon story?
I have a great Frank Whedon story. I was like 12 years old when this happened, and I was able to go into the game. I was writing for the sixth grade newspaper, and I was over at NC State, and Carolina was playing NC State, and they happened to be, you know, pretty good team, ranked number one in the country. And there was a demand for something about, you know, more press seats, more whatever. And Frank Whedon came running over and he said, "We've got the number one team in the country. We can't accommodate everybody. We got the number one team in the country. We're ranked number one in the country." And so everybody looked at Frank and said, "Okay, yeah, that's what I remember about Frank Whedon." You have a better story than that?
Well, I once had lunch at a bowl of lasagna with Frank Whedon in the back room of a Medio's on Western Boulevard. Now, that is about as NC State in-depth as you can do when you're in a back room of a Medio's having a bowl of lasagna with Frank Whedon. And he was a nice fella, and he understood this rivalry, and nothing upset him. I think it took him at least a month to get down from any time that his wonderful Wolfpack lost to Carolina, which was a number of times over his 80-some years. But he was a passionate, and we say that with tongue-in-cheek. He was a great Wolfpack booster, and he was a real professional at what he did, and he passed away this week, and the sports world in this area is a little bit better for having had Frank Whedon's put his fingerprint.
All I can say is, rest in peace, Bob Lee's first cousin, Frank Whedon.
Well, I don't have any Frank Whedon stories. I've met the man, thought he was a nice guy, and he certainly was a passionate Wolfpack.
He always spoke
well
of you, Stutz.
And did a good job. Yeah, I'm sure he did. We got to take a break. We're going to come back with more on The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. And we have some very special guests in the house. It's a shame this is radio and not television. We will come back at Rams Plaza just a moment here to tell you all about it. This is our pregame coverage on WCHL of Carolina football, Carolina and Middle Tennessee State coming up. More of The Good Sports after this.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
He'll play action to James out of the shotgun, looking deep. Finally, he'll air it out. Trey Boston picks it off for the Tar Heel. Boston in front of Philip Dorsett, the receiver for Miami, gets the turnover.
Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Once again, this is Ron Stutz at Rams Plaza. We're broadcasting live today with The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. And Art Chansky, Bob Lee, has some amazing guests lined up for today's show. And Bob is going to tell us all about them.
Where's the big intro? Where's the big intro?
Here it is.
Got it. Oh, here we go. Yeah, hang on a second. It's coming up in about
I'm the only guy from the North. I'm from Who Can Shag.
Oh, okay. Hey, keep that music playing. We want to hear this. Sounds like Carolina Girls.
It sounds like Carolina Girls. All right, here we go. Down the music, down the music. All right. It was almost exactly a year ago. Carolina was playing Elon in one of those opening games against, let's make sure we beat them real bad, whoever they are.
The teams. Fighting Christians.
Fighting Christian Phoenixes or whatever.
Exactly, right.
Anyway, it was a very hot day in Keenan Stadium. It was a sweltering day in Keenan Stadium. I was in one of my jobs as Major Domo, there's a word for you, Chansky, of the Choo Choo Lounge of the former Letterman meet at on the South Concourse. And I look up and I see these three lovely ladies standing there, sweat pouring off of them. The hair just, you know, the whole hairdo's gone, everything. They're bedraggled. They look like three little cocker spaniels, and they're pretty cute little cocker spaniels. Could we come in and get just a little cup of water, sir? And it was the Fabulous Comparado twins, who were not yet the Fabulous Comparado twins. That took about 10 more minutes. But the legend of the Fabulous Comparado twins, Nicole and Paige and Mom, started that day, and now they are our guest. And when we say fabulous, not only glamorous, that's taken for granted, and it is a shame that this is radio, but they are accomplished. They are the BC's OC. They are the big co-eds on campus. These are the most famous Carolina co-eds of the current era.
Let me make sure I get something straight here. The legend of the famous Comparado.
Fabulous
started when you were the Major Dumbo of what were you, the Major Dumbo?
The Choo Choo Lounge.
Oh, the Choo Choo Lounge.
I was a Major Dumbo.
The Major Dumbo. I can't believe it.
I fed you that one. Now,
that shows you from where greatness
all right, here we go.
Emerge.
I think the Nicole and Paige Comparado. All right, girls, each of you have about 20 seconds to tell us a thumbnail of who you are.
Okay, I'm Nicole Comparado. I'm the oldest of the two twins by a whole minute. Big deal. I'm the editor-in-chief of the Daily Tar Heels, so... I've been doing a lot of journalism. I'm on that side a lot, and me and Bob Lee get to shoot the stuff all the time in the choo-choo lounge.
Is she not a radio professional?
I didn't know. Just making sure. So that's me. I love sports. I love my sister.
Where are you from?
I'm from Boca Raton, Florida, and I'm a senior here at Carolina.
Okay. And who's the other girl there beside you?
My name is Paige Comparado. I'm also a senior, shocker, because we're twins. I am a campus relations chair for the Carolina Athletic Association, and last year I was the Speaker of Student Congress. So I've been involved in student government at UNC and sports very heavily. Diehard Tar Heel fan, also from Florida. You know, she couldn't get rid of me, so we decided to go to school together, and it's been a blast the last 4 years. And
I think the most amazing thing is you talked about all their accomplishments, and they've told you a little bit about it, but they have actually reached the pinnacle of their success now, appearing on The Good Sports with Archie.
Absolutely.
Yes, and I've definitely.
I have a question for Nicole, because I am the former sports editor of the Daily Tar.
She's editor. She's
I know,
a big
but I am the former sports editor, so God. If I ever had an editor-in-chief like you, I would still be the sports editor. But anyway, how tough is it to be the editor-in-chief of the Daily Tar Heel when you are a beautiful, accomplished, smart woman which has traditionally been, you know, a man's domain?
You know, that's a great point. It's a difficult job in general, not being a woman. You know, in general, it's a lot. It's a huge time.
But you've been one all your life.
Yes, I have. Yeah. All of it, all of the time.
We're around Chapel Hill, we don't take that for granted.
Yeah. No, but it's difficult since you're always dealing with, you know, upper administrators and chancellors. And, well, now our chancellor's a woman, but, you know, before you have to kind of carry yourself like you know what you're doing and like you're more than just your looks. So I think I've been able to do that and just get into the heart of the job.
Well, is it still an elected position?
No, it's no longer an elected position. It's a application process and a selection process. We had to go into a really intense interview. Is me and two other people who ran for the position, and 11-member panel, and they just drilled us for about 2 hours each, and at the end they came to a conclusion and selected the editor.
And now who's on that panel?
It's made up of, I believe it's three or four random UNC students. There are professors from the journalism school. There are people in the community. We had the general manager from the Duke Chronicle newspaper, our friends down the road, and just basically a bunch of people who want to know why you should be the next editor. CTH.
Why did they go away from the elected process?
Well, a lot of the times it became a popularity contest instead of someone who, you know, knew the paper. People could run who never had been on the paper before in their lives. So people who were running had no idea what the newsroom was like, what happened in the daily production of a paper, and they moved to this process because they thought they'd be getting better candidates for the job.
Well, congratulations, because
you
definitely would have won the popularity contest. So I'm glad that you won the legit contest.
Yes.
All right, I think it's softball time is over. Now, we need to tell our audience, when we have
that was a very tough question.
We don't see what's coming.
Yeah, major.
When we have guests on a show, we kind of have a little bit of time before to kind of get to know them in case we don't. In this case, I know both Paige and Nicole pretty well. But we never tell them the questions we're going to ask so that we can – they will get fresh answers, and they'll also stumble and stammer, and, you know, it'll make them nervous.
But we get
a fresh answer. So I'm going to start off. Nicole, this is coming for you. You're the editor of the Daily Tar Heel. You've been involved with the Daily Tar Heel for 4 years, 3 years?
Mm-hmm. Four,
yeah. Has there ever been in the Daily Tar Heel a chronicled, verified picture of Jennifer Wiley?
I don't think so.
Why?
Because we can't find any pictures of her.
Okay. We're serious now, folks. And everybody knows Jennifer Wiley, the tutor, Greg Little. We'll get into that a little bit in the next section of the show. She is not a victim. I understand if a girl is assaulted on campus that you protect her identity. She's not a victim. She is now, if she wasn't always, a co-conspirator in all this mess. All the players' pictures have been in the paper. John Blake's picture has been in the paper. Not only your paper. I'm talking News and Observer, Winston-Salem Journal, Greensboro Daily News. No one has ever seen a picture of Jennifer Wiley. You can Google Jennifer Wiley, and you get all kinds of porno stars and everybody else that everybody sticks up there, and, you know, ugly girls, fat girls, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it depends on whether you're a Carolina fan. There's never been a picture of Jennifer Wiley. Both of you, just a question for anybody can answer this. Why does no one know what Jennifer Wiley looks like?
You know, I wish I did. I'm trying to think. I think maybe a few years back when this all started happening in 2010, we might have had a very grainy, horrible picture of her in the paper. But I could not picture her if you asked me to right now.
Paige?
Yeah, I actually tried to Google her as well and also could not find one person that looked like
her. But
it was,
you saw a picture of the Tiki girls from NC State from the
80s. I could not find who she looked like.
It's
very
mysterious.
This is the age of the cell phone.
Well, you know, it's funny because for the entire year after she was out of Carolina, she taught elementary school in Durham over on Miami Boulevard. She has a Chapel Hill address. She lives in Chapel Hill.
She's married. Apparently, USA Today says she's married.
She's married? Hmm.
I don't know. Not to Greg Little, probably.
I think
we might have found her on Facebook once, actually, a long, long time ago. I think she's
deleted it. It's a journalism question. You would not protect her, would you?
No, absolutely not. There's no reason to protect her picture from being in the paper than anyone else. In fact, it's more of a reason to run her picture since, you know, all this stuff has surfaced that she's been directly involved in. Just recently, the Greg Little stuff from a few days ago.
Are you going to go back to the Daily Tar Heel on Monday morning or maybe tomorrow and rekindle that effort for your photography and news and sports staff to go find Jennifer Wiley, talk to her, and get a picture?
I think we should. We've been in contact with her attorney, so we know that, you know, she still exists.
Seersucker Joe Cheshire.
Still around here.
Ask him, by the way, who's paying his bill next time we talk.
Joe, I asked a couple of lawyers yesterday who know Joe and are of that same level, say his going rate is a minimum of $500 and he would require a $5,000 retainer to even take on a case.
And you know what his nickname is? You know what his nickname in the profession is? No Pro Bono Joe.
There you go.
That's right.
We got a bunch of other things we want to ask these ladies. Ron, do we need to sell something?
No. I want to get right into Paige because the idea that you're with the CAA is a very controversial position. Not a lot of people know that. You've got things to deal with like the lottery and decisions that are made that affect the students. Tell us some of the controversial decisions that the CAA has to deal with every year.
Right. Well, every year we always have to work on the student lottery distribution. We have to figure out the ticket policy for the basketball season. And in the end, that's really something that students care about the most. You know, it's they love basketball. It's a basketball school mostly. I mean, I love our football. We love our football. But, you know, a lot of times students are waiting for basketball season. So they've changed it a lot of different ways in the last few years, and it's in fact being a little bit compromised because Carolina Fever is also another organization, and they have a ticket system and a point system for their own organization where their top members, if you go to a bunch of non-popular UNC sport, not popular, you know,
Olympic sports.
Right. If you go to Olympic sports, so if you go to, you know, field hockey or even all those other teams, you can get points to get towards basketball tickets. So in recent years, they've been able to get 300 tickets for their top 300 people. But then the last year, they changed it so their top 150 people get 2 tickets each, which was a big change for the ticket system in general because, you know, 150 less people got tickets. So that's one thing. And this year, I'm not really sure if we're going to change ticket policy, although a lot of students want us to because it's every year it's still hard to get the student lottery even if they change it. So there's been a really hard time figuring out whether or not we can find a compromise and actually fix it, or if every single thing we do is still going to be, you know, wrong. It's never going to be perfect, but we want to make it as perfect as possible.
Let me ask you one question. Does the riser position, does it have anything to do with either Carolina FIBA or the CAA? I mean, how do you get into the risers?
So you get into the risers by getting phase one tickets to the game. So, yes, in Fever, if you are one of the top 150 members and you get a phase one ticket, you can go in the risers as long as you go and stand in the riser line. Nicole and I have somehow acquired this title of being the Riser Twins.
The term is camera magnet.
No, the Riser Twins has become, because Nicole and I were in Fever our first year, so we'd get our tickets to Fever that year. But then as the ticket policy changed, we would just get either really lucky in getting phase one tickets through the lottery or, you know, had friends in Fever, whatnot. So we would get phase one tickets. So if you wait in line in the Riser line with a phase one ticket, you can get in the Risers. You can sometimes get in with phase two. But you're in the very last row, you can't see anything.
Dear, your luck began about 21 years ago when you chose your DNA.
Do you agree with the students being split up in different sections of the Smith Center?
Personally, I wish there was a lot more student seating on the lower level. I mean, it's really difficult that you have the riser section, the section behind the risers, and then the random corner on the other side for students to sit in. And I feel like if we had more students, maybe even a risers on the other side of the other basket, I feel like that'd be a lot more energetic. Not that the fans that sit in the lower bowl aren't energetic all the time. But
we're known as the wine and cheese crowd. Is that not true?
Who gave a great deal of money 20-some years ago when the building was built, the Skipper Bowles lifetime seat situation. Mm. And that can be argued, and it has been argued, you know, does that verify having people there who are on oxygen in wheelchairs and if they scream, they die?
Well, yeah. There were several classic flaws in building that building, which opened in 1986 against Duke, by the way, and with a victory, by the way. And one of them was not recognizing that we needed to not only get more people in there, but keep the home court advantage we had in Carmichael. And the only way to do that in a building is to create the pit area like a Duke. Mm-hmm. And the high rollers and Bob and his friends, they had to understand that the best seats in the house are really 12 rows up where they can be mm-hmm. elevated and look over the riser section. But no one, it was the first on-campus arena ever built with private funds. So no one really was sure that they could do it. And there were a lot of compromises being made to people at that time, including Coach Smith. I mean, he was very reticent to ask people for money. And they gave a lot of people what they want. The biggest mistake they made was to give the seat licenses for two lifetimes, your lifetime and the lifetime of your oldest child, which effectively killed their chances of ever refinancing the building or reseat the building. And now people who paid, you know, $5,000 to $20,000, which they could pay over a five-year period, like buying a used car back then, can keep those tickets forever, and that's really a shame.
Well, I've got some more questions. Ron, do we still need to sell anything?
Yeah, we need to take a break.
Right, we're going to sell something. Then I've got some questions.
We really do.
These two young ladies feel the pulse of the students that Art and I really don't have. I've got some questions about what students today think about sports and BMOCs and how prestigious it is to be an athlete at UNC. But we'll come back after this message and get some more about what students think today.
All right. This is the Good Sports with Artsy and Bob Lee on WCHL. We're broadcasting live from Rams Plaza in Chapel Hill. I'm Ron Stutz. We'll be back with more in just a couple of minutes.
Many people who switch their car insurance to GEICO for the savings end up staying for the excellent customer service. That's why GEICO works very hard to make sure every customer is satisfied. In fact, GEICO's customer satisfaction is 97%. And the 3% who aren't satisfied? Well, there's just no pleasing some people. But we're working on it.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruiser's, good to go.
It's summer and we're all spending more time playing sports and enjoying outdoor activities. With that means more injuries, bumps, and bruises. That's why UNC Family Medicine is your one-stop shop for treating injuries. You'll be cared for by the same staff that works with UNC teams and Chapel Hill Carrboro school sports. From on-site x-rays to physical therapy, UNC Family Medicine is here. And you can make appointments easily on the web at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Catch every touchdown this season right here on your flagship station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
First down, Tar Heels with the flea flicker, gave it to Bernard, back to Ritter, deep to Tapley for the touchdown. And just like that, less than 90 seconds into the ballgame, the Tar Heels are up six.
Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
I'm Ron Sutz along with Art Chansky and Bob Lee, and we're broadcasting live today at Rams Plaza in Chapel Hill. I forgot to congratulate Rich Yost of Chapel Hill, who came by and won those tickets earlier today. He's going to be sitting in the stands watching the Tar Heels take on Middle Tennessee State. And once again, we are broadcasting live at Rams Plaza, and the folks at Rams Plaza have a lot of good things going on. If you'd like to find out more about them, contact the Argus Development Group at 704-376-9848. Now, back to the Good Sports with our special guests.
All right, this is Bob Lee, and our special guests are the fabulous Comparado twins, Nicole and Paige. Ladies, I've got a question, and Ron and Art can jump in here too, although we really don't, we're wanting to hear what you have to say. There are 50-year-old UNC alumni now who are doctors, lawyers, titans of industry. They have big homes out in Governor's Club or Bald Head Island. They've accomplished all sorts of things in the 30 years they've been away from Chapel Hill. But they will still tell you today their greatest thrill in 1982 was standing in line at Taco Bell behind Michael Jordan. People my age, which was back in the late 60s, would say the same thing about a guy named Danny Talbert or a basketball player named Dick Grubar or Larry Miller or Charlie Scott, that athletes in those times were BMOCs. They were the biggest celebrities on campus. Is that true? Of course, you only know your time. You don't know what it was like to stand in line behind Michael Jordan. Yeah. But the last 4 years, would that be true? Are students still get giddy about seeing big athletes and jocks on campus?
Definitely. I would say absolutely, especially with the basketball players. You know, last year, before they all left us, and the year before, Kendall Marshall, Harrison Barnes, Tyler Zeller, those were all huge names. This year, you know, it's a little bit
different. People
would
whisper about him if they saw him in the pit. Hey,
oh,
look,
yeah.
There's Harrison
People
Barnes
would tweet about them and be all over Twitter. Just saw Harrison Barnes at Chick-fil-A. Okay. Be there for the rest of my life now.
This is the voice of Nicole, by the way.
Yes, this is Nicole, by the way. Hard to distinguish a little bit. But, yeah, I would definitely say that it's still a big thing on campus. More so with basketball probably than any other sport.
Right, now, who would be the football guys? Quarterbacks or quarterbacks?
I've been runner. I mean, Giovanni Bernard last year. A lot of people recognize Gio. Yeah, mostly for football, it's either Bryn or some of our more popular players, really.
Basketball players,
I mean,
they're so, more visible because you see their faces.
They're also they're taller, too. They're, I mean,
you ever hear the old joke? Oh, you're Gio Bernard. I didn't recognize you left the helmet.
Yeah. Well, see, that's also the issue is because football players play with helmets on, so you don't always see them when you're watching the game.
Girls smart about sports or not?
Yeah, they are so smart.
Okay, so that's a great point. Everybody knows what the basketball players look like, one, because they're taller, and two, you see them in their underwear running around on the ding dong.
Yeah.
And basketball, football players, I mean, there are pictures of them, and I'm sure people know Bryn Renner and Gio and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And they're bigger. I mean, they're not taller, but they're bigger guys.
I
asked you this last year, and you told me who the most famous athlete was. I think it was last spring when we talked about this. And you said one of my favorites, one of the greatest names in the history of Tar Heel sports, Sky Bolt, baseball player Sky Bolt.
Greatest name ever.
Greatest name. Tell us about the celebrity phenomenon known as Sky Bolt.
I think Sky is a really interesting one because –
Did he ever ask you out?
No, unfortunately. Okay. Although, I'm sorry. If he asked me, I might say yes. Yes, he's a sophomore now. That's okay. Everyone's doing it these days.
You'd be a co-ed cougar if you dated Sky Bowl.
I would, I guess. Yeah. But no, the interesting thing about Sky is that guys and ladies both find him really appealing. Guys have a
little bit of we're getting into some social issues here.
Shut up and let her answer the question.
It's more of like an idolization, you know, as if a normal man would see Tom Brady. You know, you kind of want to be him. You think he's great.
He's charismatic.
Exactly. He's charismatic.
His name is Sky Bolt.
It's just a great name. He's breaking all sorts of records. You know, he was a fantastic breakout freshman last year for the team.
He changed his name, though. His name really isn't Sky Bolt, is it?
Right. That's what I've heard. I mean, I don't know the exact story about it.
I mean, it was like, you know, Henry Smith, I think.
I used to think Usain Bolt had the greatest name. Now it's Sky Bolt.
Yes, definitely. But then all the ladies, of course, you have someone who's very charismatic, very attractive, very good at sports. You're going to have an uproar of ladies wanting to know who Sky Bolt is.
All right, now that brings us to another question. He looks normal. He's, what, 6 foot, 180 or something? He's a normal-looking guy, whereas your football and basketball players, I mean, even Ren Renner is, what, 6'4", 220. From a ladies' standpoint, do you prefer normal-looking guys or big freakish guys?
I think, what do you think about that, Paige?
Yeah, pass that over to Paige.
Passing that one to me. You know, I think it just depends on, I'm going to say their personality, but honestly, sometimes some of the more buff guys and, you know, very athletic, and they're just not as personable as some of the other guys are, just because, I mean, they get it a lot. You know, they get the fame in their head, they get the, you know, their looks in their head. I mean,
yeah, they get it a lot. We hear that quite a bit. Now, let's switch over a minute. When I was here in the late 60s, there was no Title IX. There was no basketball, women's sports. Now we have a full range of women's sports, and our soccer team, particularly soccer women, Mia Hamm, and all of them are very famous.
Yeah.
Are the women athletes famous on campus?
I think they are, yes. I especially the women's soccer team. Another thing that you have to understand about athletes, too, is that even though they may not look like athletes sometimes, like especially the women, obviously, I mean, they can be very fit, but they're not, you know, very different than other girls on campus sometimes. But a lot of them stand out because they either travel with their teammates. A lot of the athletes have little tags on their backpacks, too, that have their team on it. So that helps also distinguish them. And they mostly hang out with other athletes as well. You know, that
Art, can you imagine Larry Miller wearing a backpack that says, "I'm Larry Miller" on it?
Larry Miller didn't have to do that. All he had to do was drive his red convertible into the Granville Towers parking lot, and they were hanging out the windows yelling.
And they have scooters now, too. Yeah.
It's sort of the same way with Archansky and Bob Lee. Yeah.
Right. Let me divert a little bit here and ask you a question about your particular roles, both of you, in your professional roles on campus with the CEA and the DTH. What Bob Lee has referred to over the years is the great unpleasantness. This thing has gone on ad nauseum now for 3 years, and it seems like there's still stuff coming out. You have a conflict, you know, as editor of the DTH, to be loyal to the school and you athletes, but also to be a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And Paige, you're involved with the athletes who are actually the working, you know, the working functions of the athletic department. I'll let you both answer the question from both of your domains.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult to kind of balance that wanting to be a fan at UNC and then having to display all the bad things in athletics and what's going on the front page. You know, we just had the Rawlings report come out this week. I'm sure you all have read and gotten a chance to see.
That would have been the big story until something else came out 2 days ago.
Right, Greg Little, of course.
No.
And so it is difficult to keep an allegiance to the teams where you're also saying, well, this is big news. So not that you're hoping for big news, but you're just – at this point, we're kind of just like, there's so much going on and there's so much they're trying to do to reform the athletics department and everything. But it's difficult to be in this position to, you know, walk around and have to be making these relationships with people on campus, you know, administrators, and the next day they'll call you up and say, hey, what did you do? Why did you do that article? You know, but that's one thing that we're really lucky. Go ahead.
No.
Okay, we're really lucky at the DTH because we're an independent newspaper, whereas I went to an editor's conference this summer and many papers are part of their schools. So we can print anything we want, but they can get a call from the chancellor who says, hey, you can't run that.
Right.
So it's also balancing, you know, what we are free to print and what we think the students and the community needs to know, and then trying to keep our source relationship with people, too. It's really difficult.
Right. Metaphorically speaking, I think it's really, I like the fact that the DTH is off campus now. It's on Rosemary Street.
Yes, it is.
Or instead of being in the student union where you really might feel even more of that pressure.
Exactly.
All right, now, how old is the DTH?
We're celebrating our 120th birthday.
120th birthday. A number of great people have been editors who've moved on to other things.
Thank you.
One of them is here. sports editor, the toy store guy over there, you know, to get the gimme tickets.
Thank you.
You know, but there's a one of your alumni editors is in this region, and he's somewhat controversial right now because of the way his institution, his organization has covered this. John Drescher, mm-hmm. the executive editor of the News and Observer,
yes.
was the editor, had your position, sat in your office
yes.
In the early 80s, I believe it was. His institution has come under a great deal of flack from Carolina fans for, and particularly Dan Kane, for the way they've mm-hmm. covered this. You're John Drescher. You're Nicole Comparato. You're a professional journalist. Do you think they've covered it fair? And any comments you have on Dan Kane, John Drescher, and the great unpleasantness?
Oh, gosh. This is one of those ones you didn't tell for, of course. Actually, John Drescher came and spoke at our editor's retreat a few weeks ago. He came and spoke on leadership to our group of editors, and I asked him to come and speak to them just because he is a notable alumnus and, you know, spoke to us about that. But I think it's hard to judge the NNO's coverage based on just being a fan. I think a lot of the fans who are so in uproar about what they've been covering don't see the sides that journalists do of all these issues and all the trouble we go through trying to get public records, all the runaround the administration has given us and all these types of things. So
when you say us, you're talking about the world of journalism.
The world of journalism, the media in the area. And I think that they have a right to publish and write about documents that they're getting. And the reason people are criticizing them now is because they're still writing stories about this, but the reason it's coming back up is they're just now getting the records request they filed 3 years ago.
Exactly.
You know, so
you cannot blame them for
you
that.
Can't blame them for reporting on things that they've wanted to report on for years. Now, I've met Dan Kane. I've been to several, you know, back when the Jim Martin report came out, I was there reporting while he was reporting.
You and I and Art were
and
all
we all were there.
Meeting.
Yeah, I remember. We were Paige came yeah. too.
All of us journalists were in there. What
in
were
fact,
you doing?
I remember this moment. We were all there together, bless our hearts. And when Jim Martin said the same, when someone asked him, one of the trustees, did you talk to Coach Smith? And he said, no, I thought Roy would be too busy to talk to me. And I think we all looked at each other and said, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This thing just blew up.
Yeah. I think the Jim Martin, that report was, it was a great time to look at what exactly we looked at in the past few years, but we won't get into that. But I think the NNO has their duty to cover the scandal and do it to the best of their ability. And I think that the people who are extremely upset about that is people who just don't want to see this happening any longer. They don't want to see Carolina football being dragged through the mud, or Carolina in general.
But they would be fine if it was happening over at NC State.
Oh,
they would say we need more of it.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, ladies, we so appreciate you being with us. I want to ask Paige one last question about the same thing. What is the attitude amongst the students who help control the operation of Carolina Athletics? Are they sick and tired of it? Do they blame the athletes? Do they blame the administration? Do they blame Butch Davis? What's the attitude inside?
Well, personally, from what the attitude I've at least received from everyone else is that we're trying to move past it, and we're trying to get students back interested in Carolina Athletics, and that's our main focus. I mean, as campus relations chair of CAA, my main focus is how do we get students to come to the games? How do we get them to want to care about the athletes, and how do we get them to, you know, actually stay if they come? So a lot of times the athletic department and the CAA in general, our focus right now is making sure people don't get sick and tired of what has happened and kind of try to move past it and continue to be Carolina fans like we all are down at Truly.
Have you seen, was there apathy amongst the students or loss of interest when all this was going on?
I would say there was at some points. I think people were just very frustrated because obviously the school gets punished as well, and it makes our reputation look also poor. It reflects poorly upon our school. And I think that's why students really didn't appreciate everything that was going on at all. Now at this point, when things keep surfacing and, you know, people just kind of, sometimes they joke about it, sometimes like, oh, look, another thing that happened. But and then on the inside, people are like, ouch, there's another blow, you know.
All right, now, we're back in school now. This mm-hmm. summer, school was out, except for the summer school students, and we had what we will call the summer of PJ. Is PJ Harrison a sympathetic or a combative figure right now on campus?
Well, you know, it's really funny. I actually did a story on this for my news writing class the other day, and I had to go around the pit, which is a popular place on UNC's campus, and ask, will PJ play this year, and what are your opinions on it? And the most common answer I got, actually every single student answered me, out of 10 people I interviewed, we all make mistakes. So I think people are actually being very, you know, they're empathizing with him.
Wait a minute. We've got some other stuff we need to get into. One of the guys that killed Eve Carson said, I'm not perfect.
Oh,
you killed
that,
Eve
I'm not
Carson,
saying that.
You're saying you can make mistakes?
Well, I'm not saying that's my opinion, honestly.
I'm sorry, I get emotional.
No, I think the problem with that mentality on campus is everyone is not so concerned about P.J. Harrison. They're concerned about our basketball team winning. And so people are more willing to forgive him because they want him to be on the court making threes.
But if he was wearing a red or a navy blue jersey, they would have thrown under the bus.
Yeah. I met some very reasonable people who were like, you know what? Do I want him to play? Yes. But do I think he should play? No. Because if any other person had done this, a student who was on a scholarship for merit had done something similar, they wouldn't have their scholarship where PJ kept his scholarship. So
those mistakes you're talking about are completely different.
Let's ask these ladies to stay on for another 10 minutes to get their predictions maybe, but we've got to move on to some of the nuts and bolts stuff that nobody really cares about. And we thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
What a thrill to have the Camperado twins.
And it'll be the whole show will be the link will be on Chapel Bar, so anybody wants to listen can hear the whole thing again.
You guys did a good job answering some very difficult questions, and I would say that probably the person who's happiest about all this Greg Little story this week is P.J. Harrison, because it got him off the headlines.
Exactly.
So
no more attention on him.
We're going to come back in just a moment
and
wrap it up here.
Thank
the Good so Sports much. With Art C and Bob Lee. I'm Rod Stutz, broadcasting live at Rams Plaza on WCHL.
Attention Carolina fans. Fitch Lumber and Hardware is a whole lot more than just wood and nuts and bolts. Whether you're building a dream home, adding on, or just maintaining what you've got, we can help lead you in the right direction. Doors, windows, siding, roofing, paint, you name it, we can help you with it. And don't forget about our key and lock services and our custom millwork shop. So stop by Fitch Lumber and Hardware in downtown Carrboro or check us out online at fitchlumber.com. Go Tar Heels!
Are you tired of spending money on your lawn over and over without getting the results you were promised? Let the pros at Landscape Logic give you the direction and care needed to protect your economic and aesthetic investments. Our commitment to quality and personal service is second to none. Check our references in your neighborhood, Angie's List, and a Better Business Bureau. For a free estimate or to get on our schedule, please call Yvonne at our office at 919-419-1926 or email us at landscapelogicnc@gmail.com.
7 seconds on the play clock. Big third down here. Carolina trying to take the lead. Shotgun snap to Renner. He drops straight back. Plenty of time. Goes to the end zone. Ebron leaps. Catches it for six. What a play by the Tar Heel tight end.
Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
I'm Rod Stutz, broadcasting live Rams Plaza this morning, and now back to Art and Bob.
Bob Lee, that was a fantastic interview. Thanks for setting those kids up. To follow up, what's going on here is the Greg and Jennifer story that broke. Everybody knows, has heard about it, exactly what it was, but it was a sealed interview with NCAA investigators. We don't know why it was sealed for as long as it was, but it begs the question, are there going to be more sealed interviews coming? This one, you know, the big point of this one was that Jennifer Wiley, who we thought was the tutor who made, as according to Joe Cheshire, was a good kid who was just trying to help, while she was doing Butch and Tammy's laundry as an employee of the family, she was also laundering the money from the agent, Perry Watson, to Greg Little. Now, that's a huge development in this story.
Oh, I think anyone who thinks this is the bottom were the same people who thought it was all over when the parking ticket scandal came out 3 years ago. This isn't over. This is like genital herpes. It's the gift that just keeps on giving. It ain't going away. I hate to tell that to our listeners who are largely Carolina fans and just wish it would go away. They thought it would go away a week after Marvin tweeted. By the way, Marvin got cut this week.
He did.
Marvin is no longer a Giant.
He's my hero, though. He knocked out Mark Sanchez.
He did knock out Mark Sanchez.
Look,
I understand he's going to go to work for Fat Thomas as an assistant party planner. Man.
I wonder if Marvin tweeted when he got cut.
I don't know. We have other things to do.
If he did, Pat Pride has it.
The point is, Bob Lee, now that this has come out by Greg Little, right on the heels of the Hunter Rollins report, which much has said we ought to be on the forefront, we ought to be an example. We can't do that now. We have to prove that we can restore our own credibility before we go out and say, hey, do it like us. Because exactly. If we say do it like us, we're going to be a laughingstock. So.
Well, I guess when Holden organized that, and your friend and mine, Jim Delaney, was a key member of that, we thought it was over. I guess they didn't know. I mean, I've always said, you know, if you define institutional control as did your AD and your chancellor have a clue? No, we had no institutional control because our AD at the time and our chancellor at the time were totally clueless.
Right. Well, you know, I do think that there were some good things in that report, like they really made you understand what happened, where the breakdowns were, and what happened. But if you go through it, you say, that happened. I'm sure that's why the result was. So, but the part that we ought to be on the forefront and start establishing a new way in college, first of all, that's total idealism. That's never going to happen anyway, because no one's leaving the room at the same time. And the only AD and coach and chancellor who leaves the room by himself is going to find himself out of a job when he gets out of the room. So, because it's all about money, Bob Lee, the money that you make.
I've heard that.
The money that you make for appearing on this show every week.
Yes, exorbitant. Hey, listen, we got to do this quickly. Two-minute drill, folks. Could a Johnny Manziel situation ever develop within either Roy or Larry's programs?
I mean, an athlete become bigger than the program. I say it could not. Art?
It can, unless if we don't monitor a few players that we needed to monitor back in 2010. People say, oh, you can't control a football program with 100 players. You only had to monitor three or four. You know, Marvin Austin, Greg Little, Quinn. If you monitor those three guys, where they went, nothing would have happened.
But the university did not come out and support them. Today there's a picture of the chancellor of Texas A&M giving the money sign. So they are endorsing Johnny Manziel's conduct. Our people never endorsed the conduct of our bad boys.
No, they went the other way. As a matter of fact, we...
Okay, number two there. So.
Hey, listen, we got an early kickoff today, but what is your personal favorite game day kickoff time? Mark
well,
Chansky?
My, you know, at 3:30 is my favorite time because I once owned a restaurant in Franklin Street, Four Corners. I owned it. And
along with eight other guys.
All those restaurants bleed for business when there's an early kickoff because people are hurrying into Chapel Hill. They really don't have time for a formal lunch or a sit-down lunch. Now, a lot of them come back after the game, but the 12 o'clock time is the perfect time for people to come in and go out at the same day. So I like 3:30.
What about you, Bob?
In my day, back in the late 60s, all games started at 1 o'clock, and there was only one game on TV. I like that, but not this time of year. Starting in October, I love an afternoon in October. Afternoons in October in Chapel Hill doesn't get any better, but right now, and today probably won't be that bad, it's like a microwave oven there.
Again, very quickly here, you guys make a prediction. What do you think, Art?
Oh, I think Tar Heels big, 42. We're gonna score 42, 48 points, but we're going to give up some. So I'd say 48-21.
All right, I say the Fighting Fedorians over the middle whatevers by at least three touchdowns.
All right, this is Ron Stutz, and this has been The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. And Art, I know that you're on WCHL all the time.
I am, so listen to me and hear me and read me on the Ron Stutz Show on WCHL and chapelborough.com.
All right, and Bob Lee.
Folks could find me on the world's greatest sports website, BobLeeSays.com, and there's stuff like there right now that you got to read.
That's the most self-serving, it's a great website.
We'll see you next time on The Good Sports, the show that knows the score and tells it to you. This is Ron Stutz. The Good Sports is heard before every Carolina football game on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station. Go Heels!